You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, along with my lovely co-host, Paula Lazon-Osman. I'm broadcasting live today from South Florida, and Paula, you're broadcasting live from Boston, Massachusetts. How is it up there in Boston today?
It is a light rain mist at 45. It's, you know, chattering.
Sorry to hear that. You don't want to hear about what it was today down here in Florida. It was, but I'm going to have to say it anyway. It was clear skies and 82 degrees.
There you go. That's my kind of weather.
But I was in the birthplace of the Constitution last night, Philadelphia, yes. There was no time to do anything. Well, there was time. We landed at 5:30, and yeah, but it was dark already by the time we got off the airplane, and it was, yeah, basically Boston weather. It was a little warmer than that, but it was pretty much Boston weather, what you just described, drizzly, yeah. And then we left early this morning in the same thing, drizzly. It wasn't actually coming down at the time we took off, but it was wet out there. And, yeah, it's just that time of year. That's what happens, you know. It's life. And it's going to get – the rain and the drizzle is going to start turning into white stuff pretty soon, isn't it?
I like the white stuff. I like that better than the rainy stuff.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Although, you know, when I was flying out of Boston, I lived up in New Hampshire, and there was a big difference between Boston and New Hampshire, you know, Manchester, New Hampshire. The difference in snowfall, oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, Boston got some, certainly, but, my gosh, there were times it just, after three winters, I couldn't take it. That's why I live down in Florida now. I'm like, hey, I'm an airline pilot. I can live where I want to live. And it just didn't, it just wasn't worth it anymore. You know, the snow piles, and I had a parking lot because I had basically an apartment complex. And the parking lot, I had a guy come and plow, and every winter, at some point, he just couldn't plow anymore because there was nowhere to put the snow. The snow pile got so big every winter. You know, the last couple snows, everybody, I just said, hey, sorry, you're just going to have to dig your car out yourself. The snow plow guy, there's nowhere to put the snow. So, anyway. so, yeah. No, I don't worry about snow plowing anymore. Just when a palm frond falls off of one of my trees, I got to, you know, pick that up and throw it in the garbage. But that's about it. And then, of course, all the salting of the walkways. And, of course, because I had an apartment complex, you know, you just worry about somebody slipping and suing you. So, oh, my gosh, every day I went out of my way, you know, to make sure that the walkways were clear and safe to walk on and all that stuff. And
yeah,
it's work. It's work. But, you know what, there's no more beautiful place than up there in the Northeast. I say that. I mean, there are plenty of beautiful places. But my parents have a summer townhouse, if you will, in Maine, and they spend the spring, the summer, and the fall in Maine, and we went up and visited them in September. It's great having a free place to stay, you know, but it's also great seeing my parents. That's the best part about it, but it's in Maine, you know, in September. Boy, it was awesome. So we fly into Boston. Well, you knew that. We flew into Boston and rented a car and zipped on up to Maine and spent about a week up there and ate lobster rolls every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's that time of year. Oh, my gosh. So, anyway. All right. Well, Paula, you know, I know that you've always got the good humorous stuff. And I found out that Dick Birnbeck, who provided us with those, you know, sort of take off on if you're a redneck and you know it or whatever it is from that one comedian, Jeff Foxworthy. It turns out Dick actually made those up himself.
Yes.
I didn't know that. When you were reading that on Monday, so anybody listening to this, you got to go back and listen to Monday's show. That was some good stuff. Dick Birnbeck made those up himself, and they were hilarious. Yes. So Anyway, so we give credit to Dick again for sending us those great one-liners or whatever. If you are, what was it again? If you're a Democrat, then, or I don't remember what they were, but.
Oh my gosh, I'd have to go check it out in my email.
Yeah, they were funny, but it was a takeoff on Jeff Foxworthy. So anyways, so what kind of humor do you have for us today?
Well, today we've got from Conan the other evening, Ron Paul's campaign is upset because during last week's Republican presidential debate, he only got to speak for 89 seconds. Meanwhile, Rick Perry's campaign is upset because during last week's debate, he got to speak.
You know, if we could only limit President Obama to 89 seconds, then we'd really be making some headway. You know, the speech he just gave, and we're going to play a little sound clip from that, speech he just gave in Hawaii a few days ago, where he previously in Hawaii said that Americans are lazy and American business owners are lazy, and, you know, we've been lazy as Americans, and on, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, of course, he played golf while he was there. He was golfing. And he then went to Australia today, and you know that the President's Cup is being played in Australia today and tomorrow, today and tomorrow. And I read an Australian newspaper, and the Aussies have warned Obama, or at least his staff, we know you'd probably like to really play golf while you're here because it's a great play. I mean, you know, I've been to Perth, Australia a couple times. But don't do it. It'll look really bad if you've been playing golf everywhere. You know, you've been in Hawaii, then on to Bali, and then on to Australia. Then you're going on to the next G20 conference, and he'll play guaranteed play golf there. Don't do it here in Australia. It won't look good. So the Australians warned him. Don't come play golf. Get down to business. Do your job. Can you believe that? The Australians are telling our president, why don't you actually do some work? But he's going around the world saying we're lazy. So, yeah, his 42-minute speech, if you'd like to either vomit or just immediately be put to sleep, you can go to YouTube and find the speech that he gave in Hawaii. But we've got an interesting sound clip, and we'll play that a little later on. So,
right.
Yeah, if we could limit him to 89 seconds instead of his – can you believe – first of all, I've given a lot of speeches in my time, whether it was campaigning or even back in the military. 42 minutes? Give me a break. Are you deluded? Nobody wants to listen to even the most funny or interesting person in the world for 42 minutes. And this guy droning on and on and on for 42 minutes. So that's our president. Wow, making impressions everywhere he goes.
Well,
right.
I mean, you know, Mitt Romney had leveled yesterday on that charge while campaigning in South Carolina that he goes, you know, sometimes I just don't think that President Obama understands America. He says, I say that because this week, or was it last week, he said that Americans are lazy. And I don't think that describes, he says he doesn't think that describes America. You know, one woman by the name of Heather Wilson, who was a Republican candidate for New Mexico's open Senate seat, she called on the Democrats running for the race to repudiate Obama's remarks. And she says, President Obama said the reason we're not creating more jobs in this country is because Americans have been lazy. He's wrong about the American people, and he's wrong to have criticized America in front of the world. But
oh, yeah.
When you examine what he said on Saturday to business leaders at the APEC summit in Hawaii, it's pretty clear that his critics are taking him out of context. And he wasn't calling Americans lazy. Rather, he was calling U.S. business practices to attract foreign investors lazy.
Yeah, and that's where he's a lying you-know-what. why would – you know, first of all, Paula, you and I, let's say we got a big business we're running, and oh, we're really competitive and doing great, and we want to bring some additional business into the U.S. and bring some companies from abroad. Who knows what countries? Why would any company in the world want to come to the United States of America and pay the highest corporate income taxes in the world? Why? Wow. It's because we're lazy and we haven't worked hard at it? No, it's because our government is screwing us. It's because our government is saying to the rest of the world, yeah, we don't care how productive Americans are. We don't care how great their ideas are. If you come here, we're going to tax the crap out of you. That's right. Why other businesses and companies and people around the world aren't coming to America. It's not because Americans, it's because of government. This guy, remember, he's the one who said, we're in such a bad financial crisis now that only government can get us out of it. Only government can solve this problem. Government is the problem. Government has always been the problem. And that's why the less government we have, the better. Now, I'm not talking about anarchy going that direction. Just what our founders intended. Minimal federal government intrusion. And that's what we had in the beginning of this country. And the country flourished. Probably the most rapid rate of wealth creation and growth in the United States of America was the first 50 years of this country. It was unbelievable. And government was the smallest it's ever been. And now what's happening? It's the worst it's ever been. And you've got a president saying that Americans and American business practices are lazy and we're not promoting ourselves enough. Promotion, you know, here's something that's very interesting. I spent a good portion of my career in the Navy working on aviation safety issues. And I worked for the Naval Safety Center the last 4 years. I had a consulting business. I still have a consulting business. It's been very – I haven't done much in a few years. I'm actually got a couple jobs coming up now. But promotion has nothing to do with making anything ever happen. Promotion, posters up on the walls. Promotion is the stupidest, worst way to actually get something done and make change happen. Promotion is – baloney, absolute baloney. It doesn't work. So in my capacity as a risk manager, a safety auditor, et cetera, promotion doesn't make a difference. Promotion does nothing. So when he says we just haven't promoted ourselves well enough, you can promote the hell out of yourself. When the government is screwing businesses in this country and regulation is just rampant and out of control – by the federal government and the executive branch, no less. No, nobody wants to come to this country and open a new business and start a new business. It's ridiculous. And that's why we're driving our own companies out of this country. Look how much GE is outsourcing. Oh, GE, you know, let's put the CEO on our president's job creation panel. And this guy's outsourcing jobs more than they've ever done before at General Electric. Yeah, it's really working, Mr. Obama. So anyway, that was kind of serious, but do you have some more humor for us?
Well, from David Letterman, I'm thinking Herman Cain doesn't get it. He brought a date to the debate.
Hey, it was his wife. Come on, Letterman, you scumbag. Yeah, we already know about Letterman's past with interns and all that kind of crap, so whatever. But yeah, it is kind of funny, though. He brought a date.
You know,
well, his wife may be approved. I don't know. Okay, I shouldn't say that.
Also, Cain also says that he's in favor of waterboarding as long as it's consensual.
Hey, nobody ever consents to that. Let's talk about waterboarding for a minute, and I don't know if we talked about that on Monday. I went through SEER school. I'm not going to explain to people what that was, but my dad went through SEER school when he was in the Air Force. We got to go through enhanced interrogation techniques. My dad told me about that stuff when I was a kid, and I didn't pay much attention. Then when I'm actually getting enhanced interrogated, you know, buried in a suitcase, and all kinds of other things, you know, the one thing I didn't get was the waterboarding. They only waterboarded a few people, and I don't know how they selected them. And I talked to one of the guys that got waterboarded in my class that went through, and it wasn't pleasant. And, you know, you didn't last long. You're like, okay, I'll tell you whatever you want really quickly. Only three terrorists have ever been waterboarded. But here's what I want to do. Democrats love precedent. They love precedent. When federal judges rule on something and expand the ability of this and that and the other thing and take their liberal agenda where they want to, whether it be the federal circuit court judges or the Supreme Court, oh, it's a precedent, it's a precedent. I'll tell you about a precedent, you liberal Democrats. Here's a precedent. 40 years of waterboarding military service members, and you never said a word. You didn't care about us. You care about terrorists. That's what I want to know. Come on. Somebody call on the show. Come on in and tell me why you're so concerned about terrorists, but when we've been waterboarding our own service members in, quote, training for 40 years, it's A-OK. Well, guess what? We're just training the terrorists. We're preparing for them for a life of imprisonment. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. These guys are such damn hypocrites. Waterboarding, maybe it is torture. I don't know. But the legal precedent, and this is what libs love, there's the legal precedent. For 40 years, we've been waterboarding our own people, no less the military, and you cannot torture your own military members, let alone somebody else's military. You can't torture. But we did it. It was all in the name of training. So therefore, by legal definition, waterboarding cannot possibly, after 40 years of precedent, be torture. It can't be. Okay, so now the real question is, am I for waterboarding? Yes, I am. When you got a guy like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who you know exactly who he is, and he's told you, I'm the baddest man to ever live. Here's what I've done. Screw you. Guess what? Time to get the waterboard out. Three terrorists in all of the terrorists we have caught. Now, here's the irony of it. The Obama administration says, that's just not the American way. We don't torture. But guess what we do? We kill. Bin Laden, some of these other terrorists. Oh, you know, if you are engaged in terrorist activity, we're not going to capture you and interrogate you. We're going to just simply assassinate you. He's A-OK with murder. But a little waterboarding that does no physical damage, people live. Look, I have friends that have been waterboarded in the military in SEER school training. They live happy, normal lives. They got to go through some waterboarding and see what it was like. Wasn't pleasant. They're alive. Bin Laden, on the other hand, he's dead. Now, I agree. He deserves to be dead. But the hypocrisy here is an administration and libtards that want to tell you that waterboarding's torture, but it's A-OK to just go around assassinating people when we decide it's A-OK. There's no consistency here. I'm all for assassinating bad guys, but I'm also for waterboarding bad guys. If you're willing to kill a bad guy, why the hell aren't you willing to waterboard him and let him live? These are some of the dumbest, don't get it people in the world. Anyways, so there you go.
Yeah.
There's my take on waterboarding. All right. Any more humor to lighten up my take on things?
Well, again, from Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, presidential candidate John Huntsman accused his Republican opponents of coming up with easy sound bites just to get applause. In response, Mitt Romney was like, that is ridiculous. Clap if you like bacon.
Well, Mitt's, I have a feeling Mitt's going to be the guy. I fully support Herman Cain. But, well, let's do a couple things here. One, I'm going to run down some of the stuff we talked about Monday just to recap and go through a couple other things. Keystone Pipeline. They've been working on the Keystone Pipeline and debating it and discussing it for 3 years. 3 years. And now they're going to put it off because they want to put it off till after the election. Well, that's not a political move, Mr. Obama. Absolutely political move. Keystone Pipeline will create thousands of jobs. And now the Canadians have said, hey, if you're not going to do the Keystone Pipeline, we're still – now, here's what the activists are saying. If the Canadians go after all of that sand and shale oil – it's going to release a lot of CO2 in the air. We've already had plenty of people come on the show and tell us, and me included, baloney isn't going to affect the environment in any way. Okay, but that's what they're saying. Well, the Canadians are saying, we're going to do it anyway. Just because you're not going to buy it isn't going to stop us from drilling for that oil. We're just going to sell it to China now. So China's now going to get this cheap, cheap oil that we could have just pumped right on down into our country, right to our straight to our refineries. No trucks. No, think of all the CO2, the trucks that have to truck that stuff, and all the ships that have to ship it. No, we're going to continue to get our oil from Venezuela and Iran. Great. Nice move, Mr. Obama, you moron. Okay. The K-999 plan. If you haven't heard me say it before, corporate taxes are at 35% for any corporation making over $335,000 a year. Corporations do not pay taxes. You and I pay corporate taxes. They roll it into the price of their product and service. If corporate taxes drop to 9% from 35%, that's huge. And if you now have to pay a national sales tax of 9%, now you're up to 18%. Unless you're a complete moron and like paying 35% on every good and service that you purchase from large companies, 18% is a much better price. So anybody that tells you that Herman Cain is going to raise your taxes is lying to you. Obamacare. It's going to go to the Supreme Court, and it's going to all be based on the Commerce Clause. The Commerce Clause that was written to ensure that the states played fairly with each other and did not cheat or favor one state over another or allow some states to operate. The ports were huge. Boston Harbor, down in New Orleans and Pensacola. Very, very important for shipping. Shipping was huge back then. And what the federal government did not want the states to do is a state that had a very, very important port or river, Mississippi, Ohio River, say, you know what, this state can just bring their goods on down and no problem, but this other state, we're going to charge you a tariff. That was the purpose, and it's actually in the Constitution that no state can do those kind of things. It's spelled out, but also that the federal government can regulate interstate commerce. Now, Paula, interstate commerce is a financial transaction. It's not the good. It's not the service. But the Supreme Court has expanded the meaning of interstate commerce to include all of that now. But now what we're about to do with the Commerce Clause is say where no commerce exists, the government can make you engage in commerce. So let's say this, Paula. I'm a traffic cop or a highway patrolman, and I get to regulate the traffic going down Interstate 95. But what if there's no traffic? What the government is saying, well, if nobody wants to drive on the I-95, we're now going to grab people and tell them you've got to drive down the I-95. Because we get to regulate traffic, when there's no traffic, we now get to make traffic and tell you you have to drive down the street. That's what they're saying under the Commerce Clause, that if you don't want to buy something, but we say you should have it, we're going to make you buy it. Now, all of the dumb libtards out there go like, well, what about car insurance and home insurance and all that other stuff? That's the state government. State governments can make you buy all kinds of things. They're not bound by the Constitution on that. The federal government is. So, libtards, read the Constitution. The 10th Amendment allows states to do things like that. But the federal government has no authority. Okay, so there's the Commerce Clause. And I heard, I don't know who it was, I heard some libtard saying, but we've got 40 million people without health care. We don't have 40 million Americans without health care. We might have 40 million people in the United States of America. It's just that they're not legal citizens, many of them. We only have about 6 to maybe 12 million legal Americans who cannot afford health care. That's it. Now, I realize I would still like them to have it. This is a state issue. Mitt Romney was absolutely right when he created a health care system in Massachusetts. The states are allowed to do that, but the federal government has no authority. And if they're allowed to proceed with this health care bill, it opens the door for them to control anything and everything in your life. Not just control your life, but make you do things that you don't want to do. Only the states have that authority under the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's play a sound clip. Now, I said that Obama was, you know, golfing in Hawaii. You know, he spent an hour going to some Pan-Asian, Pacific Asian, whatever you want to call it, conference, business conference. So he got to yuck it up and glad hand and then give his unbelievably boring 42-minute speech. So, yeah, he was there an hour and 42 minutes, but then he was on the links the rest of the weekend. Okay. Here he is. And this has been making the news, but not really the mainstream media because they protect him. Here he is talking about what he knows as a world leader in dealing with other world leaders.
One other thing that I want to say about this. When I meet with world leaders, what's striking, whether it's in Europe or here in Asia?
He's in Hawaii. He said here in Asia. I'm going to play that again, Paula. Did you hear this already? Today?
No, I didn't.
Okay, listen to it again closely, what he says.
One other thing that I want to say about this. When I when I meet with world leaders, what's striking, whether it's in Europe or here in Asia?
Or here in Asia. He thinks Hawaii is Asia. He doesn't know Hawaii is a state of the United States of America. Now, it's part of Polynesia, and quite honestly, it's not part of North America, but it's not Asia.
Tom, he was having a Rick Perry moment.
Okay. He was having a Rick Perry moment. Now I'm going to play what he said when he first started off his speech.
Okay.
And let me make sure I get the sound up enough there. Okay, here we go.
Good afternoon, everybody. Aloha.
Good afternoon, everybody. Aloha. Now let's play it all together.
Good afternoon, everybody. Aloha. One other thing that I want to say about this. When I meet with world leaders, what's striking, whether it's in Europe or here in Asia, or here in Asia, or here in Asia, or here in Asia.
Maybe he thinks Hawaii is the 57th state. Because he thinks that there's 57. Now, I know, Paula, because you are a softie, and you're like, oh, he just had a... That's fine. But how come when a Republican or a conservative makes a little misstep, it's all over CNN and MSNBC. Oh, my gosh. This guy... Remember when Sarah Palin said, I can see Russia from my front doorstep? Russia is right there, right next to Alaska. Look at it. And they're like, oh, what is she talking about? Oh, Russia, you can't see Russia. It's way, way off. It's right there, quite honestly, the northern, Siberian portion of Russia. So in any case, they jump all over that and say, boy, Sarah Palin, she's a real idiot. She doesn't know that Russia's way, way far away. You can't see Russia from Alaska. What are you talking about? Well, where are they to go say this? Gee, Obama, what an idiot. He doesn't know that Hawaii is a part of the United States of America. It's not part of Asia.
I can be a softie and, I'm on the fence about a lot of things. But I really, really felt for Rick Perry when he was standing on the stage that night and he was trying to come up with the third branch, okay?
I agree with you. You know what? I really didn't like Rick Perry until that moment. I actually like him now.
And then this thing, the awkward pause of Herman Cain comes up, and that's nonstop. And that bothers me, okay? It bothers me because is he having a senior moment? Is he having a nervous moment? Does he really not know about foreign policy?
Right. Yeah, no, all of these things, they're fine, except Obama doesn't miss a beat. He just keeps marching right along. He doesn't go, where am I today? I've been, five different countries and 13 different states in the last 4 days. I'm in Hawaii. No, he starts off going, aloha, everybody, aloha. And by the way, when I talk with world leaders, whether it be in Europe or here in Asia, and I watched the YouTube video of it. He was reading the whole time, 42 minutes, until about the 36-minute point. That's when he went off script. That's when he started looking out and just shooting from the hip. He wasn't reading when he said the Asia thing. So if he reads what's given to him, he's okay. As soon as he is no longer reading, and it didn't look like he had the teleprompters because he kept looking down at the podium like he was reading. Fine. I don't have a problem with that. But once he wasn't reading it anymore and starts shooting from the hip, that's when he starts saying these stupid things, which leads me to believe, I firmly believe, that the reason teleprompters are so important for him is not to look as perfect as he can, is because he can't speak from the heart. He's not too bright, and he really doesn't – he can't speak from the heart, because if he were to speak from the heart, he'd sound like a Soviet Politburo communist, and that's why he's got to read stuff. So anyway – it's nothing earth-shattering, but the fact that he said that and the mainstream media won't jump on it, I thought it was important to highlight that, yes, he has gaffes just like everybody else.
Right.
And I just think it always happens when he goes off his teleprompter. As soon as he stops reading what they hand him, boom, now it's a problem. So everybody can do it. Everybody has their problems. It's happened to me. It's just that if I were in Hawaii, I really, really just don't believe, maybe when I'm a true senior, I might say, but at this point, Obama's my age. It's like, well, right here in Asia. Asia? And he grew up in Hawaii, supposedly.
What do you,
so, supposedly.
Yeah, what do you actually think he was actually thinking about when he was standing there? He must have been having an out-of-body experience thinking he had to go to Asia or something.
Yeah, he was thinking something, and so who knows what. And, you know, all that'll happen. But the media protects him. They cover up for him, and they won't show it. You will never see that on CNN. You'll never see it on MSNBC, and they'll apologize for him. But if Rick Perry says something, it'll be running, like you said, nonstop. You know, Mitt Romney, nonstop. Herman Cain, nonstop, all day long. But Obama says something like that? No big deal. It's just, hey, people do that. Well, people do that like Rick Perry did it. No, that's a different thing, because he's conservative. You know?
Yeah.
And the racial attacks on Herman Cain have just been unbelievable. I mean, we're talking two-bit, who listens to him, who pays attention. But people on TV and the radio calling him a racist, Herman Cain a racist, and he's some lackey and Uncle Tom for the conservatives, and that he's lying, he doesn't really believe what he's saying, and on and on and on.
Yeah.
These are some of the most racist comments I've ever heard, and they want to point us out. Oh, and finally, the Occupy Wall Street parasites, they're really wearing out their welcome, and the Democrats are now realizing that they're not, that the American public is really getting tired of these parasites. And they're getting tired of them. And so now Democrats want to start distancing themselves. Well, you know what? They jumped in bed with them. You can stay there with them. You can get the ringworm and the herpes and everything else that's been passed around in all these, you know, Occupy locations. I mean, there was, I think, out in – where was it? I just was reading it today. One of the towns, Occupy, you know, whatever town, there was a case of ringworm going through the whole camp, encampment. I mean, it's one thing after another. These people are just losers. And then, you know, other people, I think it was a Wall Streeter. No, maybe Occupy D.C. You know, like, you guys are going to find out what a Molotov cocktail is. I mean, you know, using threats. They tried portraying Tea Partiers as racists, as violent, as vile, and yet there's no evidence of it whatsoever. None of that's ever occurred. I've been to plenty of Tea Party rallies, and yet you go to these Occupy Wall Street events, and they're scumbags.
Right.
They're losers. You know what they need to occupy? They need to occupy a job. That's what they need to occupy. And find a job, get a job, get a life, and shut up. Well, Wall Street screwed us, and on. The government screwed you. That's who screwed you, because the government created regulations that allowed people to screw you.
Exactly.
Because payback. And now we're finding out that our congressional and senatorial representatives can insider trade. You know, they know when something's about to go bust, and they can, you know, divest themselves or buy. And the law protecting congressmen and senators says you can't go after them for insider trading, even though they know that stuff is going on, and they can get away with it.
Right.
So it's our government. It's not Wall Street. It's not big business. It's not business owners. It's not the middle class. It's our government that is screwing us. Just, well, let's play this little clip. It's 8 seconds.
Shovel Ready was not as shovel ready as we expected.
So funny. We spent $800 billion on shovel ready jobs, and there were no shovel ready jobs. funny. Oh boy. All right, Paula, time to go to dinner.
Well, you enjoy yourself, Tom. You and Nancy.
I will. And you have a great rest of the week. We'll be back next week. I don't know what my schedule is going to be next week. We'll post it on, go to Twitter, will it be The American Hour, or Facebook, The American Hour radio show page. Just look up The American Hour page. And then, of course, you can always find Paula on Twitter at Megawatt Queen. And also the USA, let me make sure. Boy, I haven't said this one in a while. Okay, just go to, you can go to TomGarcia.com. It will direct you to our network radio page, and we, you know, post what's coming up, what we're going to be doing. So hopefully Monday and Wednesday next week. Otherwise, pay attention to those different sites, and we'll be back on the air. We're going to be getting some new hosts coming on the network here pretty soon, and we'll talk about that. But anyway, thanks, Paula. It was a pleasure. Have a good evening. Have a good dinner if you haven't already eaten, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
All right, thanks. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to The American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.